front page of the Daily Telegraph blares, parents fight ban on school playtime. There's three young kids doing handstands, and it turns out there's a handstand off at Des Moines Public School, where, according to reports, handstands have been banned. So not safe. Kids will need qualified gymnastics teachers with them in the playground if they want to handstand. But it does focus our attention on what is and is not allowed in the playground these days. Have we become increasingly litigious, or are we being safe and sensible when it comes to our kids being active in the playground? Well, Jim Cooper, as the representative of the president of the New South Wales Primary Principals Association, deals with this every day, and he joins us now. How are you, Jim?
Oh, I'm well, thanks, Adam.
Now, specifically, is it illegal to do a handstand at Des Moines Public School this morning?
Look, I can't tell you whether it's illegal to do that because I haven't spoken to the principal, but my guess is that there are probably areas in the playground that are inappropriate for children to do handstands. But I couldn't comment any further because I haven't spoken to the principal.
But you can hear people listening to that right now across Sydney going, inappropriate to do a handstand? What are you cotton wool balling bureaucrats talking about? When I was your age, I did handstands on, you know, hillsides and in you know, areas where landmines have been planted in World War II and the like. What does it mean for something to be inappropriate to do a handstand?
Well, the number one priority for all schools, Adam, is that we have to make sure that we don't put the children at risk. And so if there are areas of the playground, for instance, a concrete area with, you know, walkway posts in the way and so forth, then it's probably our duty of care to make sure that the children don't do things in those areas.
Our number's 1-300-222-702. If you have observations about what you did as a kid in school, what's happening in your kids' playgrounds at the moment, duty of care and the like, I'd love to hear from you. 1-300-222-702. What is a duty of care, Jim? What does that mean? I'm not asking for a strict legal definition, but what do you mean when you say duty of care?
Well, basically, when children come to school, we take over the role of as a parent. It's called in loco parentis is the legal term. And so basically what we have to do is to the utmost of our abilities to ensure that kids don't take part in areas where in activities where they could be have an accident or injure themselves. Now, the reality is we can't necessarily watch every child every second, as you would appreciate, particularly during lunch breaks and things. But where we have control over these things, well, our duty of care is to make sure we put in the right protocols to make sure the children can't injure themselves.
You would have seen a lot of examples of things that are, you know, not done now at a particular school or more generally in schools that might have been done years ago. Can you give me examples of some of the things that have been, you know, changed recently?
Yeah, look, I think a big one, for instance, is some of the games that children used to play that we no longer can play under the same conditions. So, for instance, a classic is the old Red Rover crossover. Well, you know, for really old people, I think we used to call Cocky Laura.
Yeah, you run, you freeze, you run again, and basically people tackle you and then you become one of the people who's in, yeah?
That's right, okay. Yeah. So in many schools now, they don't allow children to play that because of the level of physical contact in it. Now, there are variations now. The kids can have a sash on them and the kids can grab the sash so they can still play that sort of game. But the physical contact...
Sort of like they're playing Oztag or something.
Yeah, like an Oztag game. But the physical contact aspect is out now. Same with coaching teams and things like that. I mean, we can't, you know, a teacher can't sort of stick their hand up now and say they're going to coach the rugby league team anymore, unless they have formal coaching qualifications.
With something like that game in the playground, Jim, and I would never want to trivialise, you know, the fact that occasionally, very unfortunately, some kids are very badly injured at school. But if a school adopts a new policy that a game is no longer allowed, in your experience, does that tend to happen because there's been a terrible incident at a school and the school's gone, what should we do here? Does it tend to be because it's been enforced by law across, by mandate across all schools? Does a school tend to get a report from some external expert and then their hands are tied, or is it litigious parents they're worried about? How do these trends tend to start?
I think it's a combination of both, Adam. You know, often in a school where a particular incident has occurred, they'll have to put in things so that incident can't reoccur. I mean, that's a common sense thing to do. if there's an area of a playground. For instance, in my own school a few years ago, we had to ban basically most games in the playground because of the state of the grounds, and so put the kids in another area of the school. Now, we were able to re-turf the school eventually and put the kids back in play, but it depends on the circumstances of the school. But the litigious nature of our society certainly has an impact as well.
Yes, you're quoted as saying in today's Telegraph, the irony is while parents are aghast, there's a group of parents who, if a child has a little accident, they hold the school to answer. So whilst parents might be up in arms at some of the things we're not allowed to do anymore, are parents as a group or a percentage of parents increasingly litigious in 2012, Jim? Over...
I think so. And I mean, you hear the terms helicopter parents and kids being wrapped in bubble wrap and so forth. I think that's something that's happening across our community, not just in schools. Simple example, for instance, is look at all our council playgrounds. I mean, you know, if you look at a thing like a slippery dip, I mean, the slope of a slippery dip now, it looks like it's about 10 degrees and you've got to help push the child down.
Okay.
Whereas nowadays, they sort of went to the skies and you flew down there at a rate of knots.
I'm talking with Jim Cooper. He's the president of the New South Wales Primary Principals Association. Mark's on the line. Mark, what did you do? What did you get up to as a kid?
Good morning, Adam. Yeah, we were trusted as our first formers, say, the age of 12. to run unsupervised around the length of the North Head Circuit, which is 3 kilometres.
Mm-hmm.
We also used to go, well, when I say unsupervised, there was one teacher, Michael Ace, the original solo man.
Mm.
He'd see us off and then drive his car up to the halfway point and check us off there and then receive us all back at the school. And there was no pathway or anything, it was just a road.
Would you were swimming the open ocean, things like that?
Yep. Yeah, he used to take us down to Little Manly Beach and we'd have to do a bit of swimming in there and then we're allowed to muck around. We could do back summies off the pier and stuff.
Oh, I presume. Jim Cooper, I presume back summies off the pier at North Head are out these days?
Well, look, even in a swimming situation now, unless the children have been put through a special safety course, we can't even let the children have free time in the pool at the end of a swimming carnival.
Well, so once the formal competition is over, that's it, you're all out?
That's right. And I mean, the basis of those regulations are obviously decisions made by people like coroners and ombudsmans and so forth, where, you know, if there's been a child that's drowned in a pool or whatever, that revolutionised our rules now.
Mm.
And so that's led to a reduction in children taking part in water activities.
Okay, Toby's on the line. Toby, tell us your situation.
Well, one of the safety measures, Adam, at our school is that poles and posts have been wrapped in padding material. Imagine floor mats.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same kind of width with Velcro wrapped around all the poles and posts because there's been a few accidents with children running into the posts.
And if that means kids are still allowed to run around in the playground, do you think that's a sensible balance, Toby? Or do you think it's a little bit excessive?
Oh, sorry.
No, that's all right.
The other gentleman.
No.
Well, look, I can understand it happening because if it was my child that ran into the post and hit their head, I'd like to think maybe, you know, the school did try and bring something in that would help that happening or avert it from happening again. But I also know that, it's a bit far-fetched too. So it's always finding a balance with these things.
Thank you very much, Toby. Evan, what's happening in the schools you're in?
G'day, Adam. Over the period I've been at school, I'm in year 12 now, since 2000, we've gone at my school from being able to run on the AstroTurf, playing tackle rugby in primary school.
A good old-fashioned grass burn up the length of your thigh.
Well, no one ever actually got seriously injured, which is all right. We've been gone from that to touch football to now not being able to run on the AstroTurf at the primary school at all.
So in the space of just the time you've been at school, it's gone from tackle rugby to no running at all.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Evan. John, what did you used to get up to as a little tacker?
We used to play the old British Bulldog, but it was across, the entire length of the field, over the tarmac area of the field, of the school.
Yeah. You see, I was reflecting with one of the producers of my show. We used to get the train from North Sydney to Chatswood, we would stand there with the old Red Rattlers with the door open, holding on just to a metal pole, looking up towards where trains were coming and where you were going on your journey, shouting out to other people to carriage up, occasionally pulling your head and going, wow, that was another train going past. I would freak out if my daughter did that these days.
Yeah, that's true. But I was saying just then that I feel that children nowadays, their movements are more robotic. I don't think they have the agility because they're so... let's say, confined with what they're allowed to do. And you know what? Funnily enough, Adam, I made it to 43.
Exactly. With some great British Bulldog memories, John. Love it to speak to you. Jim, I presume there's not much British Bulldog going on in tarmac these days, but Evan's case is interesting, isn't it? From the time this one young man has been in primary school, the 12 years until now, it seems as though there's been quite a significant change. Is that an accurate time frame? In the last decade or so, there's been significant movement in this area, Jim?
Yeah, very much so, I'd say, Adam. And again, as I said earlier, it goes back to a combination of things, the helicopter parent syndrome, decisions made by coroners and the ombudsman. These pressures are put on schools that they have to put these things in place as a matter of law. So we have no choice about it. And look, I would agree completely with what the parents are saying in terms of wrapping their kids up too much. I mean, a fabulous person to talk to about this is Celia Lashley, who is a New Zealand author.
Okay.
And she worked in a men's prison in New Zealand, done a massive amount of research. And one of the issues we have with this approach in our community is that we're not allowing children to take risks. Hmm. We're not allowing them to learn to make decisions.
My little girls have just started climbing the trees out the front of our house on the nature strip. And Ellie can climb up. She probably gets about 2 metres off the ground and she'll sit there and read a book. And when she was first too scared to climb that tree, you were hoping she'd climb it and not fall out the very first time because then she'd never try again. But these days, you'd never wish injury on them. But if she took a bit of a tumble out of a tree and hurt her arm a bit or something like that, you don't want a compound fracture. But that sort of stuff, you almost wonder if your kids are exposed to as much of that as you used to be.
Well, and they're not, and I think it's going to be an issue for us later on because it's a little bit like boys in particular. For instance, if they don't take risks and they don't take responsibility for their risks, then what happens to them when they turn 15 or 16? They make silly decisions when they're in cars and drinking alcohol and so forth.
Okay. Yeah, at the same time, Jim, we're looking back on these age of people being a lot rougher in the playground and there was no shortage of silly decisions being made by young men then. But it's a complex situation. Jim, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.